Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to the episode of Salinas Underground Podcast. Your look at Salinas news, events, spiritual coaching healers today. I'm so excited. This one, yeah, there's so much to talk about. I'm the 3 hours, like I said, I don't know if that's enough. There's a lot to talk about. And then if you're a regular listener, there's no microphone. If you're a regular listener, you're going to recognize the voice. You're going to be like, why does this voice sound familiar? So today, my guest is Ruby Salazar, yeah. who we just had, I don't know if it was the last episode or a couple episodes ago with Jose Luis for Salinas Valley Young Professionals.
Correct.
But here we're here to pick your brain today about what you do. I'm super curious. There's a lot. Literally the wedding officiant even. I'm just like, that. Why is that so interesting? That's so cool. But we're going to get all into that. You do a lot of stuff. Again, if you want to hear more about the Salinas Valley Young Professionals, go to that episode. We're really not going to talk about much about that today. But yeah, today we're talking about Ruby and all your, we're going to learn fine. You, not only are you, is your spirit going to be healed after we were done today, your finances are going to be a little bit better. This is going to be a good episode. I think this is going to go down as a classic one.
Thank you.
But anyway, welcome back. Yeah. I want to start with the vegan thing, dude.
Okay.
I want to start there. I know. Well, actually, wait, no. People might not be aware who you are. We need a bio. We need a quick bio of who you are. Are you from this area?
I am. So I'm Ruby Salazar, Ruby Esperanza. I go by Ruby Esperanza for my healing modality, I guess what you can say. I'm from Salinas, grew up here, went to school here, graduated from Everett Alvarez High School. I grew up here, went out to the Bay Area for school, got some degrees, came back to work for Monterey County as a social worker. I was working there for Family and Children Services, so I worked in the reunification unit, working to reunify families that had been, you know, separated due to a number of you know, issues yeah. or circumstances. And, in that, I really realized, you know, the need for preventative services. And I myself was going through some healing stuff after having my first child, went on my own healing journey and realized the importance of self-healing, right? And providing preventative resources for families and people who are really struggling to get out of, you know, whether it's a particular mindset, addiction, behaviors, you name it, right? So that really led me to want to open my spiritual practice. Along the way, I found some tools to support me in my financial journey and, you know, kind of dove into that. So I have a life license as well. In addition
a what?
To a life license. So it's a life and health license.
No wonder my life's been messed up. I don't have my license yet.
Right.
I didn't know you had to get a license to live. Oh, no. Okay.
No, and really, what I've been focusing on is, health and wealth, right? They go hand in hand together. If your finances aren't in order, sometimes your health is, challenged or your faith is challenged, right?
When people say money can't buy happiness, I'm like, a lot of my stress is caused because I don't have money. Like, right. I'm not saying that my life is going to be perfect, but it'd be nice to not have to worry about bills. So absolutely. Yeah, health and wealth. Yeah,
it's so really having the tools, right? Having the tools of, knowing where to, properly save your money, just having the resources to get more for your money, right? So that's part of the financial business that, we can tap into a little bit.
I will definitely get into that.
And, the preventative healing, working on, I'm a master energy healer through GeoLove Healing, which is taught by the spiritual activator, Oliver Nino. So I've gone through 3 different levels of his certifications. I have a Reiki practitioner certification. I also did some shamanic journey work through Rainbow Jaguar Institute with Jose Luis Herrera. So, really just tapping into the healing world.
How have you... You're like a vampire. Are you like 400 years old? How do you have time to have done all this? Okay, cool. Man, okay, the 3 hours are looking like I don't might not have enough. Because I want to go back. Okay, let's go back to high school. Do you have that, the traditional, not traditional story, but that story where you one of like the first that went to college? from your family? Or?
My father does have a degree. He did it in his older years. You know, he came from Mexico, so he mm-hmm. came here looking for different opportunities. You know, met my mom, got married. Had me a couple years later.
They met here.
Yes.
In Salinas?
King City, actually. So South County.
I want to hear that story.
yeah, I don't know too much of that story. But yeah, you know, we've been in this area for a while. Like I said, I did go out to the Bay Area, but in school, I've always just been a student of life. That's something that I...
Well, and would they push for you to go to college? Was that one of those things, you know, when you were in school, they were like, hey, man, you know, like, you have to do this? Or
it wasn't you have to. I wanted to try something different. You know, I've always, originally I wanted to get into criminal justice and actually started some classes and realized that that wasn't really the route that I wanted to take. But I've always just wanted to learn and explore and see new places. And that led me to San Jose State. So I went to school at San Jose State.
Did you move out, or were you like commuting from home when you were?
No, I moved out. So I did move to the San Jose area. So I was actually out there for about 11 years. So I got to really dive into just the diversity out there is something that I really enjoyed, you know, different walks of life, different cultures, food was amazing. So just being able to learn from different people.
Yeah, San Jose is so, because it's attached to San Francisco. San Francisco gets all the love, but like, and San Jose spread out. Like if you live there, you start understanding the neighborhoods and then you're just like, dude, this is an amazing city. The weather's great. It's not always cold like San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And there's the diversity. Yeah, just sitting... I used to love, it's a Whole Foods. It's not as diverse, but there's a Whole Foods downtown and it has a brewery. And I used to, before soccer games, before Quakes matches, I would love to go there and have some beers. And it was so cool that you would see like the whole world, every yes. different kind of people. And yeah, it was so awesome. San Jose is a really diverse place. Was that, because I know sometimes being Mexican, like our the family unit is so important. And I think a lot of the times that kind of holds some of us back. You know, it's scary, like, oh, I got accepted into Oregon, you know, but I'm going to be away from my family. And I don't know what, you know, like it's family, dude. Like, right. It's so weird. You know, like, we don't like put our older people in homes and stuff. You just like build a little house for your grandma. Right. Just like, I don't know. That's just... So what you do is your people, you know, you keep them around. Did you have any issues when that, I mean, San Jose is kind of close.
So I think that was the reason why I chose San Jose State, because it was close to home, but also still away, you know, to where I was able to come home on the weekends if I wanted to. It's about a 45 minute drive. So I did come home, you know, often. So it didn't feel like I was moving away.
And did you end up getting a degree at San Jose State?
I did. I got a sociology degree.
And then you went into social work right after that?
I've always worked with the community. So I worked with some nonprofits, working with foster care youth, high school youth, and I managed an after-school program for credit recovery. We did enrichment, life skills, a number of different things to really help just enrich, you know, their lives and their skills and abilities, after high school.
And that was like at a rec center type thing? Or
it was with the YWCA. So it was a nonprofit, and yeah. some other nonprofits dealing with working in collaboration with the county, with the foster care system.
And at that point, did you have your goal of coming back to Salinas or to this area at some point, or were you just focused on just moving on, like within the career world?
I think I always saw myself coming back. It did take me some time. But I did come back and I looked for some jobs here. It wasn't a fit at the time. I moved to Phoenix. So I was in Phoenix for a little bit, actually got a job out there. But came home and actually just stayed, and I didn't go back. And that's when I got my job at the county, working with the families again. So everything fell into place. I worked at continuation school. In San Jose as well, so with the older youth. So it's always been youth, families, adults, really just wanting to get back on track with their situation in their life.
And what drew you to that? Because that seems like one of those fields that there's so much need in, but like not enough people wanting to do that. Did you always want to help people growing up?
I think so. Yeah. I was always like the Mama Ruby of the group, right? I mean, I was called that for a while. You know, really just wanting, you know, people to be at their best and really just inspiring people, motivating people, bringing out the best in people, you know, helping them see their true light. And it's just, things just unfolded for me. I just learned to follow the path, right?
And yeah.
That's one thing that, you know, I've been working on is just trusting and following the path that's been, you know, put in front of me.
I got it. And man, I'm trying to formulate the question, and I'm sorry if I can't get it right. But so, because you mentioned you have a child, at least one, and but you've always been this mama personality. How did that how was it different having your own kid versus helping like society, strangers in a sense?
So I have two children. I have a 6 and a 3-year-old. I would say the main difference is having your own children. And this is my experience. You know, I can only speak from my experience, but you really learn about yourself. You really learn your positive traits, your not so positive traits, right? Because they're huge mirrors to, you know, what you are, what you're not, what you need to improve on. So that was actually, you know, part of the transition that I had to make, you know, from, you know, taking care of external versus internal, right? Having to really look at myself and say, okay, like where can I be better? You know, where mm-hmm. can I improve? So it's really a reflection back to yourself. And that's, you know, one of the main things, because, you know, when you're caring for other people that aren't yours, it's, you know, you're just trying to make them, you know, feel better or help them, show them the skills. But when it's your own children, it's really like you're really forced to look at your good,
yeah.
You know, good qualities and your traits that, you know, require some attention, right? And that's a beautiful thing. It's a growing process, and it's just been challenging, but also very rewarding to be able to really look at yourself in that way.
Yeah, that's a great, I'm going to have to play that bit for my mom there. Because it's interesting, for me, it was actually basically the same thing, but on the opposite. And being a child, as I grew up and kind of became my own person, and then I looked at my mom and I just saw like, whoa, there's a lot more. I'm a lot, a mirror of you a lot more than I realized. Mm-hmm. You know, I just thought, you know, because, well, you're a woman, I'm a man, you know, it'd be different. But I'm just like, holy crap. But at the same time, also, not necessarily the faults, but the things that I'm like, I don't want to be like that. You know, like that part of you is not my favorite part of you. And I see that I also carry a version of that. And so other people might, you know, not like that either. So I would like to work on that about myself. So yeah, it's interesting that you as a parent are just, that you can see, oh, that's cool. I don't have my own kids. I've been around, you know, kids and seeing them grow and stuff, but I don't have my own. And I know it's different. Even if you have really close, you know, personal relationships, it's still different to have your own, I've noticed. Right. But yeah, that must be. And how were you already done with the social work and stuff when you had your kids?
I was in the midst of it. And that's another thing that, you know, led me to open my own practice, is because of, you know, finding work-life balance. And that's something that I try to help people with as well, because, you know, especially working in the department that I was working, you know, you're around, you know, a lot of, you know, situations and stories that, you know, can really weigh on you if you're not, you know, properly equipped to be able to process that on your own. Right. And, you know, at the time, you know, I would take a lot of work home with me, and it was a disservice.
Like physically or emotionally?
Both. Yeah, okay. Yeah, both, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I would find myself, you know, working on reports, you know, at home late at night sometimes, just to meet the demand of the work. And it's very important work, right? You know, we're advocating for families, we're advocating for children. So the work is definitely important. at the time, you know, the cost to weight, you know, benefit, you know, wasn't, you know, at the time, you know, good for my situation. Yeah. And I really wanted to be there for my kids. I also homeschool my children. So, you know, for the time being while they're young and, you know, wanting to be able to be in a you know, good headspace and good heart space for them, you know, to really be able to show up for them, at least in the best way that I can in this moment in time, right? We're always improving. We're always evolving.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, you're so progressive, I guess is the only way to put it. It's so interesting. And yeah, so speaking of that, the how long have you been vegan the whole time?
No, it's been about 17 years. So I wasn't always a vegan. I ate everything, always tried new things, especially when I was in San Jose. It was great because I got to, you know, dabble in food that I hadn't, you know, experienced here in the Salinas Valley. I'm a big fan of Ethiopian food.
You know? Dude, holy crap, get out of my head. So when I was mentioning the whole food thing, there's a independent journal. I think it's only online, San Jose Spotlight. And they just literally did like, dude, you could go around the world in a week in San Jose through the food. Mm-hmm. And they were like, on Monday, do this. And then, yeah, they had an Ethiopian spot. And I looked at the menu and it was like vegan, 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 mm-hmm. vegan. And I just, yeah, it was, yeah, it was interesting. Yeah. What made you actually do that? So 17 years ago, you decided, you know, you're going to go full vegan, just health reasons or?
A number of reasons. One was health. You know, I noticed that my body wasn't really responding too well to certain foods. And for a long time, I didn't really know that it was the food. I had stomach issues, you know, was constantly feeling stressed or even angry. You know, I had a lot of, you know, built up frustration and just anger, you know, one, you know, needing to process that on an emotional level, but also, you know, the foods that we can, you know, contribute to your emotional state, yeah. right? So as I started to learn that, you know, I really wanted to try to reduce the amount of, you know, meats that I was eating. I've always been pretty much dairy free. It doesn't really sit well with my body, but, you know, I started to notice as I, you know, decreased those foods, you know, I was feeling better. But also on a spiritual level, you know, I felt that for me, it was the best path for me to be able to, you know, give respect to not only the animals, but just to my body. You know, I felt that it was a good route for me. I also watched, you know, in school, tons of documentaries on how, you know, food is processed and mm-hmm. how animals are raised, you know, in order to, you know, I mean, that's a whole different episode, I'm sure. But, you know, for me, it was just, it was something that I needed to do and I was called to do and I followed it.
I hate to be a damper on this, but we went to Sacramento. I went to Sacramento last night and there's a lot of cows in the Central. Yeah, again, I know I'm not trying to talk crap. We live in a farm area as well, but our farms have lettuce and spinach and artichokes. We don't have goats and sheep and it's like a zoo in the Central Valley. Mm-hmm. And then right now there's a lot of birds because of the rain. We're driving by, and first of all, yeah, that's why I was the person that I was driving with. I was like, yeah, I don't drink cow's milk anymore, because not for like a social reason or whatever. It's just literally my body. For years, I didn't correlate the stomach aches or anything right. to the drinking of the milk. And then oat milk came. I can't do almond milk. I just, being also from California, knowing just how much water it takes to grow them tiny little nuts, I just can't. It's good, but so oat milk, I came across that and it tastes fine to me, and it does the job if I put it in cereal. I think it even enhances cereals made out of oats anyway. It enhances it, pancakes and everything. Like, it just, I don't know, it gives everything an oat flavor. Usually oats and milk go together anyway. And then no more stomach problems after having a glass of milk or, you know, coffee or something. One, coffee is different, but so that's where I realized, like, oh crap, it's the cow's milk and I don't care. It doesn't really taste that good, you know, like where you're like, I need that flavor at some point. Like, no, it was a vessel to hydrate my cereal or my oatmeal. And again, oatmeal, it's made out of oat. To me, it goes, man. But anyway, and I say this because we're driving past these dairies and there's the cows, whatever, and they were under a roof at least. Where did the other ones go? I feel like such an idiot. It was raining. Okay. It was raining and there was cows outside. And I know that they're technically wearing leather, you know, but like, do they literally stay out there even at night? They don't have like, I feel so stupid. I feel so dumb, but they don't bring them in at night, I guess is what I'm trying to say. They just leave the cows out there. I don't know. Can somebody from the Central Valley clarify this? Do they stay outside? Cause what if it's like super cold? And then again, I know they're wearing leather. I know they're big animals, but I don't know.
That's a good question.
That seemed weird to me. I had no clue. They were just out there and it was raining. And I was like, well, that sucks. But also, as we were driving by the dairies, there was these little huts. Literally looked like plastic dog houses. And there was rows and rows of them. And my buddy was like, oh, look, at least they made like houses for some of them. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, dude, it's fucking veal. Because they keep them small, you know, and I was like, oh, and we were just instantly like disgusted, you know, like, oh, dude, that's like the reality of it, yeah, you know, it's not just a pack of meat at the store. It's like, no, they keep baby cows in cages that they can only stand up in. That's the only room they give them. And that's fucking veal. And yeah, so anyway, and just like, dude, you're okay with that. We have to be okay with murdering a baby being, and that's what. Anyway, I don't know how the hell I got here, but I'm gonna try to back out of it now. It's just weird when you think about it in that sense. That
it's a harsh reality. Yeah,
yeah. That like it's so simplified. Again, the packs of meat you don't realize, and it's like it was a living being that like. By virtue of it being alive, it deserved to be alive. Like, and we just zap it and rip it apart and turn it into be like, that's not normal. We shouldn't just be like, yep, that's a part of life. That, you know, anyway, I'm sorry. I'm getting off this soapbox, everybody. I'm not trying to convert everybody vegan. I've cut down my consumption of beef, but I still consume meat. I'm not going to freaking lie. Pork, I don't really. Pigs are too fucking smart. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. That's another one. Like, and also my body just like, you eat pork and you pass out for 4 hours. Like, isn't your body trying to tell you that that's not probably right. Normal? But then on top of that, pigs are so fucking smart. And it's just not right. It's not right, man. They know what's going on, and it's not cool that we just treat them like this. But anyway, back off my soapbox. So, I keep saying I'm getting off my, but being Mexican as well.
Right.
Historically, if you go back to before 1492, very important year, there was no cows, there was no pigs, there was deer and turkey, you know, but for the most part, Mexican diets were vegan. If you go to Mexico, everything grows. Plants, it's one of the most biodiverse regions in the world. Everything grows. So a traditional Mexican diet is basically vegan just naturally, historically, just because we didn't have big meat animals. Right. So anyway, thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Well, it's educational, for sure.
Yeah. I feel myself getting, it's messed up, you know, how we're just okay with it. And it's like, it's not a nice process. I'm not saying that we don't have to be okay with it, but we should understand the realities of it.
Absolutely.
So spiritual healing, huh? No. So, well, and what made you? And I don't want to disparage it and be like, because you're kind of like a new age hippie, man. Like, you're like a new age, yeah, a cool one. And hippies were not cool. They were like rich kids that were just trying to be like, oh, being poor is cool. But what made you do that? Like, how do you, this whole spiritual journey, how were you always a spiritual person?
I would say so. From a young age, I've always been very tapped into my spiritual self, spiritual side. I think you lose a lot as you grow and, you know, indoctrinated into different, mm-hmm. you know, areas of life. And you tend to forget those things. And, you know, one thing that I've learned on my journey is remembering, you know, where we come from, you know, that we are spiritual beings, you know, living a human experience. And, you know, we are able to not only heal ourselves, but really tap into what is the spiritual nature of, you know, the etheric realm and, you know, animals, spirit, and, you know, the earthly kind of vibe. You know, we all have that innately, you know, within us, and we just tend to forget, or it gets kind of broken down and diminished because of, you know, life experience, traumas, mm-hmm. Environment, foods. You know, there's so many things that, you know, take into account to both blocking and unblocking, you know, these spiritual aspects of ourselves. So, you know, I would say that I've always been that way. It shows up differently at different phases and stages of my life. And, you know, it just so happened that, it happened, you know, that, you know, I was presented with, you know, healing tools, and, you know, I learned it for myself, and now I'm, you know, on a mission to help, you know, support people in rediscovering that version of themselves that is lying dormant. It's dormant, you know, we have it.
And was that also somewhere, that thing that you found in San Jose, or you were able to kind of explore more in San Jose, or how did you?
San Jose was, I think, where I first went vegan, for sure. You know, I took on some, you know, spiritual oath for myself to really, you know, detox a number of things from my life. You know, a lot of it was food. You know, I was heavier. I was, you know, like I said, you know, emotionally imbalanced. And, you know, I feel that a lot of it was because of the food, you know, especially red meats and, you know, hormones that go into it that mm-hmm. are throwing your whole system off. Right. So I think that's where I took that first step. Coming back. No, I mean, it's an online program. It was a hybrid program where, you know, I actually went out to Colorado, in the mountains of Colorado, to meet with, you know, our instructor. And, it's been a journey. It's been a journey. And here in, for the shamanic, you know, work, the journeying, it's Andean cosmology. It's, we met out in Big Sur. So, you know, in the mountains of Big Sur. So, you know, being amongst nature is really huge. Mm-hmm. You know, the earth provides, you know, a number of tools and abilities to help, you know, the healing process. So
make this about myself. I like to garden. I very much enjoy the garden. I'm fortunate to have a space where I have it's not a huge lot, but it's a big enough space that it's a nice garden that I have separate areas, you know, for it. And that is the one thing. It's really COVID that really, you couldn't go anywhere, you know? So I'm sitting there in that backyard, and it was just old grass that would just grow, and I would mow it, and it would grow, and I would mow it, and it was just really hard, and, you know, nothing else, just monoculture type thing. And I really like nature. I really like hiking. I really like going outside, and especially around here. We're freaking blessed.
Yes.
And you couldn't even go hiking. Well, I mean, you could, but the government was like, even the parks are closed, and Toro Park was closed, and the trailheads right there at Fort Ord were closed, and you're just like, dude, that's my outlet, you know. So that's where I was like, I could put trails in my backyard. I was like, that's screw awesome. This grass. Like, grass is annoying. Like, I hate grass. Like, I don't hate grass. Native grass is cool, but like square front lawns of bluegrass or whatever dumb stuff full of like chemicals is so nasty to me. I hate that stuff. So anyway, I started cutting trails into my yard I have a native plant garden, and I have like a woodland type garden, and I have a vegetable garden, nice. Like the whole thing. I made an Instagram page for it. And
to check it out.
Yeah, I'll show you after. But that's the one thing that I didn't realize. Like it was super fun and it passed the time, but the mental aspect of it is not just like, yeah, when you're having a bad day and you're digging in dirt, like it helps, you know, it's like a physical thing and it gets the stress out in the physical level. But once the garden was established or growing, like there were times where just anxiety would overwhelm me for whatever reason. I was just feeling a bunch of anxiety, and I would go and lay out in the garden, and you just see this plant just swaying. It's just a light breeze, you know, and the amaranth would just go back and forth and back mm-hmm. and forth. And literally like 5 minutes later, you're not even, you don't realize you, whatever was bothering you is not bothering you anymore. And somehow, you know, it, I don't know. Then the just being out and just seeing nature be nature, for, at least for me personally, I'm not saying that this is a cure-all for everybody, but I totally believed it. And I started reading that some doctors will even prescribe garden time now. That's like an actual thing. And it just didn't, yeah. Like I got to, yeah, the, I don't know. I've done that several times since, you know, sometimes you just need to be grounded, and I just go in the, and literally like lay like a freaking big old starfish, you know, and just feel the earth. And you're just like, I'm just on this giant rock, you know, and
it's kind of hippie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. No, I mean,
that's exactly what it is.
Go ahead.
And that's exactly what it is. You know, the earth provides, you know, a certain level of vibration and frequency. And the earth is also a great transmuter. It's a great mulcher, right? I mean, part of the earth is to mulch, you know, frequency and vibration. So if you're putting your feet to the ground or you're laying down, I mean, it's actually releasing the negative, you know, low vibrational energies that you're carrying in your body, and it's transmuting it into something beautiful and wonderful. And that's why you experience, you know, that healing sensation or that peaceful state when in those environments, because it's, you know, I don't know the science and I'm not a scientist, yeah. But, you know, I know that to be true, you know, and there are studies, you know, people who want to dig deeper of people, you know, who step, you know, onto the dirt, you know, they're getting certain level of like, I don't know if it's ions or what the term is, but, you know, the frequency is different and the hertz are different that actually change your chemistry in a positive way. So, I mean, it is that it's actually.
Dude, and that one, and I've mentioned that to people, that getting, it's one, like, and even just watering the plants is, it's still cool. You know, you get to see the plants, but when I plant, when my hands get, like when the dirt touches my hands, it's really a way different feeling. It's, and it could be literally even one of the potted plants, you know, just checking it mm-hmm. to see if it has enough water or something, but just, it's so interesting. And it's weird. Cause yeah, like when you're telling people this and they look at you, yeah, you're like, all right, whatever, new age hippie. And you're like, no, man, I'm just a dude. You know, I didn't, that this is, I'm not, you know, trying to, you know, go out and just like preach this. I'm just saying what I've experienced. Like I was just, I mean, I do like nature. I'm that's just a natural thing, but like I got way more intimate with it when I was actually, you know, redoing that backyard. And it, and I'm someone that has for my whole life, you know, had this anxiety. I wouldn't say depression, cause I know that you got to get actually diagnosed. Right. But definitely heavy sadness at the very, that I didn't understand, that was attached to this anxiety, you know, and I didn't understand where it came from or whatever. But so I knew that being out in the garden and working with the plants and being the hands in the dirt did something to that anxiety and sadness or whatever that I carried. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't need to. A YouTube video or something to tell me, and it's just real. And that's so when I'm telling people and then you see them kind of roll their eyes, it's like, no, you try it, do that. Right. Especially here, like, dude, it's free to park at Fort Ord. It is a federal land. You could park there and walk around, and it's so awesome. And but yeah, and so, dude, how long were you out in Colorado?
A little over a week.
And where is it? Were you out in nature, or was it like a hotel? Like,
no, we were in nature. I mean, there was a small lodge, you know, where we would sleep, but for the most part, we were 8,000 plus elevation.
Yeah,
elevation. So we were pretty up there. It was beautiful, you know, away from all the external stimuli, mm-hmm. you know, of life. So you know, we were able to really tap into, you know, versions of ourselves that we wouldn't normally, you know, walking around in a busy city.
Yeah. Oh, man, I've been to because we have mountains here in California, mm-hmm. but Colorado, yeah, that's a whole. And it's so interesting because you could tell that they were underwater. Like being from the coast, And you look at the mountains, you're like, dude, that looks like Lover's Point or something, you know, or Point Lobos, but, well, 13,000 feet up.
Right.
That's so interesting. I was like, huh, that's crazy. That used to be underwater. That still doesn't compute in my head. So, dude, and do you feel that you're going to keep going? And this coaching, when you do talk about coaching, is this what you're talking about?
So the coaching is different. I incorporate it into the energy healing, but that was a different certification that I did through Life Purpose Institute. This was like in 2015, maybe.
I don't mean to interrupt, and I hate to I'm whatever. I'm kind of silly. You've seen this, but how often are you the only Mexican in these things? Is there a lot of white people?
It's getting, you know, more diverse, but, you know, for the most part, you know, there are a lot of.
Yeah, I'm not trying to belittle anything. I was just curious. It just seems like, and that's what I think is cool. Is again getting into spaces that aren't. Yeah, I like. Anyway, the coaching, because I see that it's kind of a broad term.
Right. So you know, I focus on, you know, for the most part, you know, incorporating spiritual practices, how to become, you know, more of a spiritual being, finding work-life balance, finding your purpose, right? You know, it could be career coaching. It could be really anything that has to do with life.
Oh, okay.
You know, transition, you know, going through times of crisis, things of that nature. But what's really been kind of hot right now is the energy healing, really, you know, being able to clear energetic blockages within, you know, the energetic system, working on the cellular, molecular level, DNA level, activating, you know, dormant DNA, you know, potential that's kind of underlying, that's been suppressed because of people, places, things, and really unlocking, you know, the mind and the spirit.
And is that something that's done in person?
Both. It could be done in person or remotely. I've worked with people from India, Canada, South Africa, because we're tapping into the energetic body. So we're able to meet in the ethers. So kind of up above, you know, and that's where, you know, the healings take place.
When you mentioned that, I went to a couple years ago to Sedona. Have you heard of Sedona?
I love Sedona.
Okay. Yeah. And people were talking about these energy vortexes, and, you know, we ended up going to the airport one. I honestly don't know what that was or what, you know, they're mapped out and stuff, but it was definitely a very spiritual. whoa, what a view. And is that part of, is that tied into when it's you were talking that spiritual similar thing? Because that dude, okay, you're one of the few people I've had to tell people about Sedona. When I would go to Phoenix, oh, wait, you lived in Phoenix. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I would go there for a trade show, and it's so funny because there's a lot of Republicans over there, you know, and they're like, so like Republican, and all of a sudden they're like, you know, Sedona, like that's a spiritual experience. All of a sudden you're like, wait, what? And like, I didn't expect you. And then like so many of them, all of them were like Sedona, Sedona, Sedona. So when I had the opportunity, I was like, oh, let's go check it out. And yeah, it is super cool. If you ever get the chance, it's a neat place.
Most definitely.
The city itself is like Carmel. It's a very, very ritzy. Well, we went to a place called the Chocolate Tree. Mm. I think it was called Chocolate Tree. Vegan place. Very, very, very cool place. Very, very great food. But anyway, yeah, they have the energy vortexes there in Sedona. Have you been to all of them?
No, not in Sedona, but there were some out in Colorado that I experienced.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's, you know, what they call masculine vortexes, feminine vortexes, and they're each, you know, devoted to activating certain parts of the body. You know, we're all divided into both masculine and feminine. We each have both sides of, you know, the energetic framework. And, you know, some of us, although we identify as male or female, are dominant in one of the areas. So part of the work that I do is also to help people be balanced in both, right? Because masculine is more. And I'm not speaking sex or, you know, gender or anything. It's more of the energetic frequency, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, masculine energy is more like action driven, you know, being able to move and take steps and, you know, move forward and like take action. Whereas the feminine is more like creative and flowy and, you know, being able to receive. So there's like giving and receiving. So being able to access both of those frequencies within ourselves, you know, because even as women, some of us are, you know, very in our masculine energy, mm-hmm. and, you know, that can cause some disturbances within ourselves because we're not tapping into the feminine flow. Whereas, you know, some masculines can also be in their very creative space and, you know, maybe need to tap in more to, you know, the action and doing, right? So it's all
that me right there. I mean, that fix me right now.
So being able to balance the two, right? To live in harmony with ourselves and be able to, you know, tap into the masculine energy when needed and be able to tap into the feminine energy and just move. It's like a dance, right? You know, moving mm-hmm. back and forth and flow with the energetic nature that is ourself, right?
Yeah. What? That's cool. I feel like I'm saving a lot of money just be interviewing you. This is cool. I didn't have to hire you. Dude, that's so cool. On like the popular, you know, big media, whatever you say, it is kind of a sometimes made more fun of, you know, again, this new age, I don't want to keep saying new agey stuff. Because that in itself sounds like I'm belittling and I'm not. But it's interesting when it's almost like, oh, when you hear about like the homeless problem, you know, but then you actually are on the streets working, you get a different perspective of it. Then hearing this, it's just like it takes that whole. The whole jokiness of it is like, no, all of this that you're saying makes total sense. It makes total and complete sense. And again, and you don't seem to be offering like this cure all, like, oh, you just call me and I'm going to tell you to do this. And it's like, no, you have this energy within you that you may not understand. Like I was just telling, when I went out in the garden, I did not understand, you know, eventually I kind of figured it out what I was feeling out there and what all that was. And it's interesting cool to know that there are people out there that you can call. The whole coach thing makes so much sense now in my head. Because again, it's not like, well, it is. Even if you were like a golfer and you wanted to fix your golf swing, like I know how to swing a golf club, but there's a little part, you know, I just need something to make it a better, you know, more fulfilling swing, to use this golf analogy, where that's where, again, like you're like, okay, yeah, you know how to live, you know, but there are these little things that you can work on that will really affect you overall, and you may not realize it because you are in the middle, you know, you are having to work all the time and or this, that, and the third, and then someone like you that has the skills and the knowledge to be able to analyze it and help them, you know, through it and be like, yeah, I know you're in the middle of it, but this is what you're missing because you're just, you know, like a racehorse looking forward, you know, and it's not that you're living a bad life. That's just life, you know? And so that's cool. Anyway, how much do you charge is what I'm doing. Do you have appointments available? Just kidding. Well, how do people get a hold of you? You're talking to people all over the world. How did they?
Social media. I have a website, soliplumas.com or coachesperanza.com. But really, just word of mouth is really what's been, you know, getting me more exposure. Is, you know, people who have experienced, you know, a healing session or a coaching session and found benefit. You know, everybody's, you know, always walked out, you know, with exactly what they need. You know, it may not be what they came for. Sometimes, you know, they come in with a specific idea in mind, but end up leaving with, you know, exactly what they needed to mm-hmm. hear or be able to focus on in the moment, right? So, you know, even myself, when, you know, a client comes in, I'm very open, you know, I'm very open to, you know, it's very much it's spiritually guided, you know, it's divinely guided. So, you know, I just follow the guidance and, you know, we're presented with information, tools. And a lot of the time they find it for themselves, you know, and that's part of the coaching process is, you know, I'm not here to dictate, you know, how a person should live their life, but, you know, ask questions to help them answer their own questions, right? And that's really what the beauty of coaching is. And also through the healing process, you know, it's very transformative in their own specific, unique way that'll really be able to impact them the way that it needs to be impacted so that they can take whatever next steps on their journey.
Well, and yeah, and that's what's also, I think, so cool is that, again, you're not saying, hey, look, I'm so smart, I can help, you know. I was curious about the Sol y Plumas, why, you know, sun and feathers, for those that might not know, but is there, why that?
Well, you know, the sun is what drives, what gives us life, right? I mean, it provides light, it provides warmth. It just brings so much beauty, and that's something that is also very masculine, right? And then the plumas is very free, very flowing, very in touch with spirit, spiritual nature. You know, it has a very, you know, strong distinction when it comes to, you know, spirituality in general. Also has ties to, you know, Native American or, you know, ancient, you know, deities. So really just having that combination. And yeah, it's just something that spoke to me. And I also have, you know, a pluma tattoo, and, you know, it's just something that it's just a part of me, and it seemed right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My garden, I call it Jardín del Sol. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. The sun. The sun's super important. It's super important. And yeah, if you grow plants, you know, and it's so, the feather thing is cool because they're not blue jays, I guess scrub jays, whatever. They're blue jay looking birds. But every once in a while, you'll find one of their feathers. And then you look at it, and it's not blue. You know, it's not just like painted blue. It's so, you're able to zoom in, and there's a bunch of little colors in it and stuff. And they're very fancy little things. And they're just, it's just feathers. But so solyplumas.com, people go to there, and they can contact you.
And I'm also on Instagram, solyplumas. On Facebook, Esperanza Coaching. There's different ways.
Yeah. And we haven't even gotten to the financial advising part. And throughout all this, you were saying that came later, right?
It came later. You know, I was really looking for a way to understand investments, understand where should I be putting my money at this point in time. You know, I worked for, you know, local government. You're just government.
Sitting on stacks of cash.
No.
You were like Scrooge McDuck with a whole room full of money. And you're like, I should do something with this.
No, I mean, you know, when you do have money, where should you put it, right?
Yeah.
And that's the question, you know, and whether you have a little bit or whether you have, you know, an abundance of
a ruby amount.
No, right. You know, where should we put it, right? And that was the question that I had. And, you know, I really, you know, put out into the universe, you know, and, you know, wanting to understand, you know, finances, you know, where should I be investing? Where should I be saving my money? How can I make my money work for me, right? And, you know, I happened to come across a financial opportunity. And, you know, I really learned, you know, what we call the three rules of money. And it really just ignited a different passion in myself because, you know, you go through, you know, I've gone through grad school and I never learned, you know, these very important concepts that could really help people get ahead in their financial situation. And, you know, these concepts have been around for, you know, over 100 years, and only certain people are aware of these concepts, right? So, you know, part of, you know, not only wanting to learn for myself, but wanting to, you know, properly educate people on these concepts to get them ahead, you know, and starting early, you know, at a young age. You know, we provide education for families, and we actually don't charge. So it's a great thing to be able to provide free financial education to people and teach them where to or how to, and, you know, it's up to them, you know, whether they want to, you know, invest in certain areas, but, you know, really getting, you know, high rates of return or, you know, decreasing their taxes, things of that nature that everybody experiences. So it came to me, and I just found, you know, a different love for that.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's going to come to you, but you have to be able to take it and go with it. And right. I think that is so important as well. For years, I thought about, again, on the east side where Monty Marty is, there's Bank of America. Then there used to be Chase, or there's several banks there, you know. And I was just like, and so often a lot of people on the east side, whether for be mistrust or just not knowledge or no knowledge, you cash more than banks or financial institutions and stuff. And I just thought so much like, dude, why don't all these banks get together and just put like a learning center literally right in the middle of the east side, like not even trying to sell anything, but just teaching people, because I would feel naturally they were going to use their services at some point anyway, if these people were educated on the financial system, because yeah, it is very complicated. There's a lot of, yeah, it tripped me out. And you do see that the whole generational wealth thing and all that, and how people, it's very rarely, are there people being like actually like breaking the laws or what, you know, or rich enough that they pay off judges, you know, for the most part is they just understand the rules.
Right.
They're very complicated rules, but if you understand them, you're not, you know, if you know how to work within them, it can benefit, you know, your dollar can go a lot more, a lot farther. And yeah. And especially in an area like this where we don't have, you know, not, it's not as diverse as San Jose, you know, something like that, or doesn't have the big businesses or programs, you know, that we can go out. It's super important, yeah, that those things get taught. And that, so, and you keep saying we, and so you're a part, you're still actively a part of something?
Yeah, so I work for a financial company. It's Global Financial Impact. So we work with families to educate them on, you know, different concepts to, like I said, grow their money. So for instance, you know, you mentioned the banks, right? I mean, why aren't people putting their money in banks? Well, if you really think about it, you know, if you put your money in a savings account, how much interest are you getting on your savings, right? On your hard-earned money? Not very much. So what we do is we show people where the bank actually puts their money and to get, you know, a higher rate of return so that you are making more for your money. And it's what the banks are doing, you know, so it's a matter of, you know, of course, you know, having a pool where you can pull in and out, you know, but also having a savings account where you're getting double digit returns instead of like 0.001% on your savings account. Right. So, you know, just providing opportunities for people. And, you know, if it feels right to them, then, you know, that's, you know, where they can start saving. I mean, there's a tons of different things, you know. You know, we provide education on 401ks. I mean, how well do you actually know your 401k? Probably not very well, right? They just kind of give it to you at work and you sign up for something. But what we've learned is, you know, you're deferring your tax now, but you're having to pay taxes on it later when you actually have a larger pool of money. So, you know, what we, you know, try to educate is like, would you rather pay taxes on your seeds, you know, when they're planted, or on the harvest once it's like fully bloomed, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to provide, you know, that, like illuminate that, right? I mean, not a lot of people think about that. So, yeah, you know, being able to put their money in a place after it's been taxed on a low number and be able to take that money out later after it's grown tax free. So, you know, there's a number of concepts and ways that we support people, you know, providing, you know, life protection, final expense. You know, there's a lot of people who are, you know, putting GoFundMes out, you know, to try to, you know, sadly, you know, marry their family.
Yeah.
So, you know, putting proper plans into place so that, you know, you're not leaving your family a liability, right? In the end. So, you know, just providing, having those real honest conversations that, you know, deal with life, right? And that's what's called the life license. And really being able to guide people to be properly protected, and set up a future, you know, financially free future.
Yeah. Holy crap. How have you slept in the last several years? Have you seen your kids? Do they know what you look like?
And I think, and it's funny because it's all about intention, right? You know, where are you spending your time? You know, I, for instance, today, you know, I had a women's group in the morning, you know, and it was a wonderful experience. We're having my mom and my sister and I were actually having a women's group in Soledad every first and third Sundays to just get together and, you know, provide a space for women to mm-hmm. come and talk and, you know, discuss different topics and, you know, skills and whatnot. And then I had a class, you know, it was about an hour. And then I drove here to meet with you. But, you know, just being very, you know, one thing that they teach us is, you know, you can have it all if you schedule it in, right? But if we're just, you know, walking around aimlessly, like not really knowing what I'm going to do today, I mean, that you, there's so much time in a day. If you actually schedule things in, you can get it done, right? But it takes discipline and it takes, you know, consistency. And that's just something that I've, you know, I've spent a lot of time doing nothing. You know, there were phases in my life where, you know, I was just kind of exploring and, you know, but, you know, really putting your mind to, you know, what is it that I'm trying to learn? What is it that I'm trying to do or accomplish? Serve, you know, that's very important to me. And, you know, just being very intentional with what you're doing in your day.
Yeah.
And, I mean, anybody can do it. It's just a matter of putting it into your day-to-day program, right?
Yeah, I'm like, not everybody. No, just kidding. Dude, hell. Okay, have we covered everything? No, we haven't. You're also a wedding officiant. What's up with the wedding officiant thing? Did you just do that because of friends were getting married? Or
A little bit.
Was part of a package? Or
a little bit. But, you know, part of, and that's something anybody can do, you know, through, you know, online.
That was my question.
Online thing. So through the state of California, technically, you know, I can officiate weddings legally. I haven't done too many, but that's something that my big goal is to have a spiritual healing center. So, you know, being able to learn from different places and, you know, technically I'm like an ordained minister, but, you know, do I call myself that? No. But you
should.
Know, but, you know,
Reverend being, Ruby, hello, we don't pay for coffee, man.
So, you know, being able to, just really, you know, one, leverage, you know, the education or skills that I'm learning from all these places and, you know, really just apply it to my, you know, day-to-day life or the people that I encounter, because, you know, we all have something to give. We all have something to share, and just being able to identify that in people and highlight their strengths and, you know, be able to share that with the world, right?
That, yeah. And so I'm still the wedding officiant. Do you go on like the state website? Do they ask you questions?
Where did I did
how
it
does
through.
It work? I'm so, and so what's the, and I'm sorry, I mean, this is way, because like if I just stood there in front of someone got married and you know, they're my friends and they did the whole vow and all that, the obviously then it doesn't mean anything. What is, I don't get what the.
So usually people who go with like a wedding officiant are people who, one, don't want to go to like the court system to do it, or they don't want to go to any particular institution. They want it to be more intimate, or, you know.
Yeah, the Catholics may go to class. That's weird. They go to class to get married.
Yeah, that's a different route for sure. But yeah, you know, it's really, you know, and I think the goal for me is, you know, spirituality or connection and love, you know, can look many different ways. And, you know, you don't have to be a particular religion. You know, mm-hmm. I'm as long as you have a love, you know, for yourself, a love for the Most High or whoever you choose to, you know, believe in, you know, that's what I want to bring, you know, and I'm not dictating how it should look, you know, and just being able to provide that loving space,
yeah,
and bring that energy, the loving energy and high vibration. But like I said, it's not something that I've done too much, but it is something that I enjoy. You know, love is a good thing.
Yeah, and it's also a battlefield, I hear. Oh, that's cool. So that makes sense. So the state or the government saying at some point you're going to have to go with like a notary, essentially, you know? You're going to have to go with someone professional, whether it be the courthouse or whether it be someone that we've ordained or we've said, you know, can do it. So yeah, so if you're not religious, or again, you don't like to say you don't want to go through a Catholic church because that's not what you do, but you also, yeah, you also don't want to be at a courthouse where you
so
know.
I mean, they to be clear, you know, you do have to get your marriage license through your county. I'm basically the person who's signing the form saying that I officiated, you know, the ceremony, and that they did make this vow and declaration to one another to become, you know, a marriage union. So I officiate the ceremony. Just to be a little bit more clear, I guess. To go to, you know, the county or, you know, city, or I think it's the county, where they have to get their marriage license. And then I officiate the ceremony. I, you know, sign the form because I am, you know, on a website where I'm legally able to do this. And then they, you know, fit the city or the county is what makes it a legal binding. Right. So I'm That's kind of like the spiritual binding.
Yeah, yeah.
Legal binding. Oh, right? Okay. So it works together.
Yeah. That's still weird. I could have an AK-47 in certain places with no license, but if I wanted to marry you, we had to get a fucking license. Like, that to me, that doesn't make sense. I'm not saying how to fix this or either. It's just strange. Like, I love this person. Like, you better get a license for that. And I'm sure it's not free. And it's like, I want this weapon that can shoot 1,000 bullets in a minute. Like, go for it. $200, bro. Go, like, weird. Anyway, I don't want to end it on that now. It's just so strange. But that does clarify some. Yeah, that's interesting. As you can tell, I've never been married and never had kids. This is a very sad episode for me.
No.
Thank you for making me realize that. No, just kidding. Whatever. I'm in a better. The garden has helped a lot, and the writing. Oh man, I very much enjoy writing, and I've told people that. I tell people more as well, because again, even being a guy, and I even call it a diary. I don't care. Like, people, that's like what teenage girls do, and it's just like, you have no clue. For me, I'm not saying again that this is the answer, but what I love about it is I can read back, and it's basically like once you're comfortable being open with yourself. You're basically reading your own thoughts, and you can see patterns. That's for me. I was catching on to patterns. I'm like, dude, I keep writing about this. Absolutely. So obviously this is bugging me in a sense, you know? So why don't I try to work on this? And then, you know, eventually it's interesting. I could see my journal, or it was very negative. All my writing, even though if I had a quote unquote good day in my journal, it was like kind of whiny. I'm not going to lie. And it was interesting to see that and to work and work and work. And there was no magic bullet or anything. It just took a lot of work. A lot of times I would fake it, you know, pretend that, I don't know, I am actually enjoying myself, you know. Yeah. And then really kind of it would like rewire your brain to be like, no, this is joy and this is a genuine happiness. And and then you could see, you know, at least for myself, I could see the change in my writing, the tone in itself, where I could feel that I'm genuinely more comfortable with myself, and I can feel that I'm in a different place, more comfortable, still the same me, you know, but I don't know, things that used to genuinely bother me and I would pretend that they didn't, now really don't. And so anyway, I don't know where everybody else is in their journey, but thank you for coming on and explaining that. And every once in a while, like I said, I interview people that just, I'm like, am I doing enough in my life? Because you're just.
No, and I think that's the beautiful thing is, you know, we all have our own path, our own journey, our own, you know, purpose, right? Mm-hmm. We all have something different, and it's beautiful when we come together and are able to share that with one another and learn from each other.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, right? Is community, you know, exchange, you know, that reciprocity. Is very important. So, you know, I think you do a great thing yourself. Yeah.
No, thank you. And this is what's cool about this modern thing is before we might have had this conversation, you know, at a coffee shop or something, and I would have enjoyed it just as much as I'm enjoying it now. But now we have the ability to record it and share it out with the world. I'm not saying the world's going to listen. I would hope. It'd be nice if the world listens. Right. We'll take all the downloads that we can. But again, this is something in the past, or maybe going back to the journalist thing, I would have turned this into a newspaper article and it would have gotten 4 or 5 quotes out of it and then just filled the rest in. But now we have, again, your voice, your thoughts, everything. And I think it's such a cool medium, and we could take what used to be a very personal thing and now we can just share it out. And hopefully someone listens to it and either reaches out to you to you know, for some of your services, or just thinks about it and says, hey, you know, I can make a change, you know. And so anyway, thank you for coming on and being so honest, and you were nervous before. I hope it wasn't that bad.
No, it was great.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a great interview. And but yeah, we go soliplumas.com and then at soliplumas as well on Instagram.
Correct.
Yeah, go there. You can find, you know, if you have any more questions, you can get your answers there.
Absolutely.
But again, Ruby, thank you for coming on. Thank you. Yeah. And yeah, we'll catch you guys hopefully next week. And hopefully it won't be that political. I'll try to stay off my soapboxes. Thank y'all.
Bye-bye.
Peace.